Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and I have it here.
I want to see that story.
All right, hold on. I want to read the story here. This is a young actor by the, and you may have heard the story, Johnny Lewis. He was one of the stars of this television series, Sons of Anarchy, which is essentially a show about a motorcycle club of motorcycle-type guys. And you like it, Bud, right?
Yeah, it's the best show on TV, in my opinion.
And it's about these guys that they were involved in some bad stuff, and now they're, like, doing good stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to get out of doing the bad stuff they was doing. They were running guns, and they're, like, drugs and running guns and stuff.
And now they're trying to, like, be cool.
Yeah, on account of, they call it Sam Crow is the name of it, because it's the Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club.
Well, what does that mean, Sam Crow?
It's like Sam, S-A-M-C-R-O, Sam Crow.
I don't understand.
You don't sound like a Sam Crow, you know?
No, I don't understand. It sounds like gibberish.
All right, well, in any event, so that's the basic thing. And one of the actors on the show, Johnny Lewis, according to the article, now this young man has died as the result of a very bizarre and maybe not so bizarre series of events. Johnny Lewis's acting career was looking up, says this article from the LA Times. The 28-year-old actor had spent two seasons playing Kip Halfsack Epps on the popular Sons of Anarchy motorcycle gang drama.
Yeah, see, they call it a gang. They should not say it's a gang.
Why not?
Because it's not a gang. It's a club.
Well, a gang intimates illegal activity, right?
Well, those clubs are illegally. They do all kinds. What are you talking about?
Do I got to go through this speech again? Some of these clubs have members that are felons. Some of them have members that do illegal stuff. It doesn't mean that the club was chartered to do illegal stuff. Because you guys are talking about this from the RICO standpoint, right?
Who's that?
What do you mean, who's that?
Yeah, is that a guy?
It's a series of laws. The RICO,
It's racketeer in. Can I do it?
Go ahead.
Racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. It means that if you have an organization that is in existence to break the law, do you understand what I'm saying?
Uh-uh. What do you mean?
Oh, my God.
It means that if the organization was if the organization, the club, Bud, they have this motorcycle club, and in the rules or otherwise in the directives that come from the club itself that require that your membership you are required to maintain your membership by behaving a certain way, and that way is illegal at times, that's a racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. That means your organization is in place to break the law.
Well, what about like Hell's Angels? That's what that is.
No, the Hell's Angels, as a matter of fact, they charged the Hell's Angels with that in the early 70s, and they never were able to prove it because it wasn't the case. The Hell's Angels have members that have acted illegally. They have members who have been felons. They have members that have been to prison. But there's nothing in the Hell's Angels bylaws that says you must deal drugs, you must break the law, you must do this, you must do that.
That's how they get around it.
Well, it's not getting around it. You can say a guy has broken the law, but you can't say an organization is a corrupt organization if it isn't. You can say that there are members who are engaged in illegal activity, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're the club is.
I understand, but I think it's still a very shady, anyway.
Well, no, it's all right. So the Sons of Anarchy. Can I get back to the story, please?
What are you yelling at, man?
Yeah.
I'm yelling because you guys keep sidetracking me. The 28-year-old actor had spent two seasons playing Kip Halfsack Epps on a popular Sons of Anarchy motorcycle gang drama. That's what it says here, Bud. I'm sorry. And was steadily landing movie roles. But behind the scenes, Lewis was, quote, unraveling. He was arrested three times this year, drowning in drugs and mental health issues, according to court records and those who knew him. The problems culminated Wednesday in a bizarre altercation in Los Feliz, where police say the actor fatally bludgeoned his 81-year-old landlady and attacked a painter and a neighbor before falling to his death. Good God!
Oh, my God.
Los Angeles police detectives are still trying to pieced together what happened at the sprawling hillside home of 81-year-old Catherine Davis. Neighbors described Davis as a kind-hearted friend who rented out parts of her two-story home to actors and others in Hollywood. Davis advertised her home as the Writer's Villa, set up for creative people. It's located in the Los Feliz Homes, or excuse me, it's located in the Los Feliz Hills in the same range of foothills as the famous Hollywood sign. Lewis had rented a room once before from Davis, though officials are not sure how long he'd lived there. What is clear is that Lewis' latest arrival came after several arrests and jail stints.
Maybe that's why they hired him to be on Son of Anarchy, because he'd been in jail and stuff.
You can't say that. On account of that, that'd make the Sons of Anarchy racketeer influence.
Just be quiet. I don't want to hear from anybody. I want to finish this.
Yes.
Lewis had been released from Los Angeles County Jail 5 days prior to the slaying, following a series of criminal cases that dated back to January. Sources familiar with the case said there were multiple attempts by family and authorities to help Lewis with drug abuse and mental health issues. A probation report tied to one of his cases spoke of Lewis's struggles. There are significant issues which should be addressed. Obviously, defendant's behavior is out of control. Anyway, he was arrested in January. He broke into a Northridge home and beat two men with an empty Perrier bottle. He had once lived in the same complex. One of the victims, who asked not to be identified, said he found Lewis in an upstairs room that morning. Lewis, who was only wearing pajama bottoms, told one of the men that he'd seen an intruder and was checking to see if everything was okay. When the man and his brother-in-law tried to get Lewis to leave, he attacked, biting them and beating their heads with a bottle. Good God. He was arrested. He was later released on bail. The third arrest would come 8 days later when he tried to sneak into a Santa Monica home, a crime that was thwarted after a woman saw him and began screaming. He was released. What the hell is it with these guys creeping into houses? He was released on bail in March but failed to appear in court and was arrested on a bench warrant. He went to Ridgeview Ranch in Altadena, completed a month of treatment. I guess that's a drug treatment place. On August 17th, they ruled in both the assault and burglary cases that Lewis had fulfilled his sentences. He was put on probation. What happened next is not entirely clear, but Lewis eventually found himself back in county jail. He was released September 21st for reasons that are also not clear.
Well, why did they keep him employed on the television show?
What difference does it make?
Yeah, what difference does it make?
What do you mean, what difference does it make? It makes the telephone... What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, what difference does it make if he was... The TV show's not the problem here. The guy's the problem. So he had a... What he's saying, that because he was on the TV show, it caused him to act this way? If he'd been fired from the TV show, he wouldn't have acted this way? The guy had a problem, whether he was employed by a television show or whether he was a Fuller Brush salesman or whether he was selling Florsheim shoes. The guy had a problem, no matter what he does for a living. The neighbor said his wife, this was in, now we're on to August the 17th, 5 days later, he was at the Spanish-style home in Los Feliz where he rented a room from Davis. The owner of the home next to Davis said Lewis approached him Wednesday morning and introduced himself as John, a new neighbor. Lewis left but returned 15 minutes later and hopped a front yard fence and began attacking a painter working at the neighbor's home. The neighbor said his wife ran to help and started screaming for help. The neighbor joined the fray, but he said Lewis was not pleased by the blows, was not fazed by the blows he took. It was like hitting him with a fly swatter, added the neighbor, who asked to remain anonymous because he was concerned about his safety. The three men managed to shake Lewis and rushed into the house, throwing their bodies against the door as Lewis struggled to get inside. But his cat has like got
like crack cocaine strength.
I don't know, like angel dust strength. So he's trying to push in the door. When police arrived, he was dead in Davis's driveway after apparently falling from a roof or a balcony. Davis's body was discovered in her home. Her cat had also been killed. Good God. She died of blunt head trauma, and she'd also been strangled. Well, you know, one of the reasons why we even know this story is because he was a well-known actor, or he was on a well-known show. If this was just some guy out there in the world, like that dude, that zombie killer dude, you know, we would treat it, you know, this is not even all that radical. I mean, the zombie guy was interesting only because he ate some guy's face. You know, this cat, if he was not an actor, it would have been just a home that was broken into, a woman that was killed, and then he falls off the roof, he's dead, and we don't care. But because he was on the show, we have an interest in it, we want to know more about it, and I don't think that that's necessarily bad, because this is mental illness that needs to be talked about. It's a kind of mental illness that is probably treatable with meds. You ain't going to treat this kind of stuff with psychotherapy.
What about finding out what happened? Like, what was his relationship like with his mother? You know, Margaret,
that isn't going to do anything. This guy is a time bust. This guy's walking around assaulting people. This guy needs drugs, man, the right kind of drugs. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. That was a bizarre and sobering man. Coming up, the guy that made the anti-Muslim film has been put in jail over a probation violation. Get a load of that. What is that about? The dude that made the anti-Muslim film that caused all of that, or at least inspired a lot of that violence in the Middle East, this guy's in jail over probation. We'll have that story and more when we come back at a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that's where we're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line here. Dr. Sadler in San Diego. Dr. Sadler has been on our program and contributes on issues of mental health. Coming back from a conference, I know, in Marina Del Rey. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for asking us on the program this evening. It's wonderful to be on with you.
Thank you. We were talking about Johnny Lewis, the actor, and I don't want to get any specific story here or any specific case, but we were talking during the break. What, Margaret?
Doctor, this is Margaret Gray. I want to ask you, don't you think this is an area of constitutional law that Phil is going into an area that... Can you hear me, Doctor?
Yes, I can't comment on constitutional law.
Yeah, he can't say anything about that.
But, Doctor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. I'm sorry, Phil, but don't you think, Doctor... Doctor?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
You don't have to yell, Margaret.
All right, because I can't hear him.
Yes, you can. You can hear him.
Yes, I know, but all the background noises, it bothers me. Can't you make...
Well, I'm in my car right now, Ms. Gray. If you wanted, I could... you want me to pull over? Oh, I can't. I'm not driving the car. I could have the driver pull over, if possible.
If you could. I'm sorry, Doctor...
Well, I can hear him, though, but I don't like the background noise because it is aesthetically displeasing. You know, Doctor?
I understand. Quan Ching, could you pull the car over, please?
Quan Ching?
Yeah, what's that? Like a Chinaman?
Just easy with the Chinaman thing, okay?
What do you say?
Nothing.
All right, okay. We pulled over at one of these park and rest, or rest and park, however they call that. Okay.
I'm still hearing that background noise.
Yeah, I am too. Are you sure that you've stopped?
Yes, I'm sure we've stopped. We have pulled over, and we are now in a rest stop.
Okay, that sounds better.
No, it just got worse.
Forget about it, will you?
I could still.
You know, you talk about medication. Oh, my God.
No, you know, will you just ask him the question?
Hi. Dr. Sadler, this is Margaret Gray. How are you?
I'm fine, Margaret. How are you?
I'm great. Dr. Sadler, my question is as follows. Pursuant to this Johnny Lewis case...
Well, Phil said that he doesn't want to talk...
I don't want to talk about specific cases.
Right.
All right. Well, Then we won't talk about the Johnny Lewis case then. Let's talk... What was that?
What?
It sounded like a bomb went off.
All right, Margaret, I have to take over the floor from you then. You know, because you're not getting to the point.
Well, are you sure that you're stopped?
Yes, we're stopped in a parking ride. We're actually stopped in a darkened lot. I don't like it here, but I have stopped so that you could ask your question.
But we're still hearing the background noise, and you go ahead and get back on the road.
Well, I don't understand.
Quan Ching, go ahead and hit it. Yeah, just hit it. Let's get out of here. We're in a darkened parking lot, Phil. I don't like it at all. And I told Quan Ching to go ahead and get us back up onto the 5 and get us back into San Diego County. I think it creeps me out every time I come north, you know, and it's probably just my nerves or something.
All right, can I want to talk to the doctor.
Margaret, if you don't ask a question real fast.
All right. Dr. Sadler, my question is as follows. What is the best way to know if your son has any kind of sexual fantasy about you?
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about now?
Excuse me, but I'm asking the doctor. Dr. Sadler? Dr. Sadler?
He can hear you.
I hear you, Margaret.
Are you yelling at me?
Yes, I'm yelling at you. He can hear you.
Dr. Sadler, did you hear my question?
I did hear your question. Do you suspect your son of having sexual fancies about you?
No, I don't, but I was just curious if that were to ever occur.
I want to leave. I'm getting sick.
Yeah, me too.
Margaret, okay, thank you very much.
Wait, are you telling me to stop?
Yes, I'm telling you to stop. I want to ask the doctor some questions that are relevant and relevant to what we were discussing, and I'm not interested in your particular questions having to do with sexual fantasy.
All right, maybe it's a private area, and I'll talk to the doctor later on. You don't have to make a federal case out of it. Where are they going?
Get out of here. I don't like the questions you ask.
Yeah, me too.
Sit down. She won't ask him anymore.
You don't leave this room because you're grossed out by me. I leave the room because I'm grossed out by you. Do you understand?
Well,
do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. You laid down the law. You feel better?
My goodness, Miss Gray, that was quite almost. That was a display of narcissism.
Why don't you stuff it, doctor, with the narcissism? I asked you a good question. Phil doesn't want you to answer it. Just go ahead and be and live with the fact that they haven't dropped yet, or if they did, they shrunk back right up in there again.
Oh my goodness gracious! Phil, I'm telling you,
Margaret, we're all done with your questions. Thank you.
Yes, but Dr. Sadler, remember,
just be quiet for a minute.
So I'm going to have to get off the phone if I'm continue to be subjected to Quan Ching. Can I get the bottle of water?
And who is Quan Ching? Is that the driver?
Yes, it's my driver, Miss Gray. I don't like your question. Can I get a bottle? Give me a bottle of water, please. Give me a bottle of water. Give me a bottle of water.
Okay, Dr. Sadler, let's continue, all right?
Yes, I just want to get a bottle of water. I know I talk funny. I want a bottle of water.
Do you want me to ask him?
Do I want you to ask him what?
I'll ask him to give you a What are you, deaf?
No, I'm not deaf, Miss Quan Ching. Here's the phone. Hello. Yes, hi. I'm sorry. I'm on the phone now. How do I get off the phone?
Take her off the phone and put her back on her microphone, bud.
Oh, sorry.
Hi. Who's this?
Let me call you.
Yes, give Dr. Sadler a bottled water.
All right, don't worry.
Yes, a bottled water.
Understand. Hey, okay, yeah, thank you, Crunchy. Slow down. You agitated him.
Well, I didn't mean to agitate him.
All right, do you have a question?
No, I don't.
Fine. Dr. Sadler, sir.
Yes, Phil. I'm perspiring. I'm in a... I don't feel good.
All right, sir, I'll let you go then, okay?
Now go ahead and ask your questions, okay?
Did you say ask his question?
Shut up. All right, my question is this, Dr. Sadler. Is there a way in your mind, do you know of any way that we can identify people who have mental illness of some kind that is potentially dangerous? Is there a way of identifying these people before they actually act violently? I'm speaking in terms of this. Yes, we don't have to elaborate on the case, but any individual like either this actor, the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooter, and others. I just read of a shooting in Minneapolis. I don't know what inspired that, so perhaps I'm being a bit premature. But these random acts of violence that are perpetrated by people who are clearly mentally ill, how do we find out who they are?
Well, Phil, you know, running the risk of talking specifically about the case, the actor in question, was giving off warning signals.
Excuse me, but Phil Hendry said don't talk about that.
I'll handle it, thank you.
God.
Okay, I'm sorry, Phil, I gotta go.
Dr. Sadler, come on.
No, I gotta go. I mean, I've been listening to that woman. I gotta go. I'm telling you, she agitated my driver. She agitated this Chinaman, not the Chinaman. You know how long I've tried to train myself not to say Chinaman, and one phone call with this broad.
How dare you? I was asking some very good questions.
I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I gotta function.
What was that?
I don't know. It sounded like Quang Ching might have gone after him.
Yeah, it sounded like maybe that driver turned and went after him.
The driver went after him. Thanks a lot, Margaret.
Are you blaming me? Oh, my God. You're blaming me for a mentally diseased Chinese limo driver. Is that what you're blaming me for? I did nothing but ask some very good questions in an irritating way, yes. But I did not. Oh,
yeah, we got to take a break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Yeah, tell the people what you're doing.
He's going to do what he already said he did.
Okay, hold on. I've been telling you guys about my dieting thing, and I'm 11 pounds away from my goal of 210 pounds. And now that I think about it, this is how you get. You get a little crazy, but not bad crazy, kind of just crazy. You go, 210, why I can make 200, why maybe even 190, you know.
Well, yes, but then that's anorexia. You don't want that.
What's anorexia?
That's when people, you know, Margaret.
Yeah, it's when young ladies think they're fat even though they weigh like 50 pounds.
What?
Yes, it's a delusional state of mind.
There are some women, and men too, who it doesn't matter how skinny they are, they think they're too fat. It is, Margaret said, it's a delusional frame of mind. And it's extremely dangerous, and people have died, the most famous of which was Karen Carpenter of the Carpenters, who sang that song. Bud, you know that song.
Yesterday One More.
Yesterday Once More?
No, Yesterday Once More.
No, it's Yesterday Once More.
That's what I said.
That's what he said.
No, he did not. He said Yesterday Once More. It's like if your dog was named Yesterday and he wanted more food.
What? Are you nuts or something?
Don't call me nuts. Don't ever call me nuts. There's mental illness in my family, and I'm very sensitive that way.
All right, hold on, Margaret. Yesterday Once More. Is everybody agreed that's the name of the song?
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you didn't. Oh, God, no, he didn't.
God knows that you're going to heaven, Margaret. Take it easy. There's mental illness in your family.
That's right.
Wow.
Damn.
Don't look at me with the bugged-out eyes like this. Don't do that, Phil. Don't look at me as if, oh, get Margaret.
All right. I want to tell people about the diet. So 210 pounds is what I'm shooting for. Now, this is a very good example of what I was telling you guys. Because here's the deal, man. If I'm, and I give myself 2,000 calories a day. That's what I've been doing since March 19th. That's my secret. There's, you know, people talk about, let me tell you something, man. What's that one commercial we were looking at, Robert?
Yeah, that lady said, you can't do it on your own. You know, you just can't.
That lady's pretty creeped out.
Yeah, I think there's some. Yeah, she.
Yeah, I mean, she's talking about you can't do it on your own.
All right, yeah. She says you can't do it. Yes, you can do it on your own. I did it on my own. What is that supposed to mean, you can't do it on your own? If you're tired of looking like a fat pig, you can do it on your own. I mean, how tired are you of looking like a slob? That's all you need. That's the motivation. 2,000 calories a day, and all this jazz about you're going to see all these pills, forget it, man. What happens is this, is you start eating better. Because you go, if I only got 2,000 calories a day, I'm going to start making those calories count. I'm not going to eat cans of stew. That's how I started out. I started out at, okay, I'm going to eat 2,000 calories a day. Oh, wow, I'll get this can of stew here, and I'll get this can of soup here, and I'll do. And I suddenly realized, you know, there's other stuff I could get that's going to fill me up more, and it's got the same number of calories or even less. And guess what happened? I didn't say to myself, ooh, I must eat more greens and fruits. I didn't do that. I suddenly realized that that's where the calories that were going to fill me up were. In other words, I could go and eat a salad, or I could go and get some fruit, and I would feel a lot fuller, and it was just as many calories, or it might even be fewer calories, you know?
Like what kind of fruit?
Like I was telling you, like strawberries. Strawberries, man, 6 calories in a strawberry. You can sit there and eat a box of those things, man. It's only about 100 calories. And it fills you up, and they're delicious. So, all right. Yesterday, I was at 1,800 and I think I was at 1,870 calories. And when I say yesterday, today, the, you know, earlier this evening, and we're coming to the end of this calorie day. And I was at 1,870 and I thought, okay, I got 130 calories left, but I'm still hungry and there's nothing that I'm going to eat at 130 calories going to fill me up. So I decided I would make this protein shake that I make. And all it is a couple of bananas and protein powder.
What about milk?
Nope, no milk. Water.
Oh, my God. Water?
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, water is fantastic, man, if you're going to make yourself a drink. It's and you put some ice in there, crushed ice. It's delicious.
It's like a smoothie.
Yeah, it's like a smoothie. So I had two bananas is 242 calories, and the protein powder is 110. That's 352 calories. I had 170 left. So obviously, I'm going to go over. And I did. It came out to 222 calories over. So that's how many calories I'm going to deny myself tomorrow.
All right. So tomorrow, you'll be at 1,778.
What's that?
That's 222 from 2,000, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I'll either do that, or there's one other thing. This is what I was telling you guys. I'll either do that, or I'll go out and I'll burn off 200 calories tomorrow, and that will get me almost level. So that can be like 200 calories. I know automatically 200 calories is me running down the beach and back, or I could walk down the beach and back if I do it in a half an hour. That's 200 calories right there. Boom. And I'm back level.
But when are you going to do that? You got to do it before the end of the day, right?
Yeah, you have to do it before the end of the day. Or if I don't want to do that, then I just am going to have to deny myself 200 calories. So tomorrow it's going to be 1,700 and, you know, like Margaret, what is it?
That was 1,720. If you take 2,000.
Give me that, will you, man? You guys are the slowest.
I wasn't the best at math.
2,000 minus 200 is 1,778. That's how many calories. And that's what you do. That's it, man.
But if you go over like 1,000.
Bud, are you being serious?
No, I don't know.
If you go over 1,000 calories, man, then you better work your ass off the next day to get those 1,000 calories off. Or you are only going to have 1,000 calories. Because if you're doing 2,000 calories a day and you go over 1,000, the next day you've cut 1,000 off of your off of what you're going to consume. Do you really want to put yourself through that kind of hell?
Yeah, but what if you're just hungry, man? I mean, I get hungry.
You get hungry because, let me tell you something about food. Food is one of these things that we go to whether we need it. We go to it whether we're hungry or not. Sometimes we think we're hungry. We just need the sustenance. We need the, what do they call it, the comfort food?
Oh, God. You know, my sister-in-law, Frank's sister, in fact, you know, we called her Bertha because she was overweight, and that is the go-to name, you know, for women that are overweight.
But called Bertha?
Yes, they call them Bertha because Bertha sounds big. Bertha. You don't know that word?
Well, I'm not really, no.
I do.
All right. Yeah, that's what you call girls that are big. You go, oh, here comes Bertha, and then you do, like, tuba music, or you go, have you ever done that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So let's say there's a very dear friend of yours that's a fat slob.
Hold on for a minute. What is this? You're making fun of your friends?
Oh, well. We can't all be like you, Phil, Mr. Squeaky Clean.
Uh-huh, Mr. Squeaky Clean. How's you doing making fun of a fat girl named Bertha?
Well, wait. Hold on for just a second here. You do tuba music and you call her Bertha?
Yes, it's all in good fun.
Oh, uh-huh. It doesn't sound that way to me, but I'm not going to judge you.
Oh, no, not at all. You just stopped down for like 30 seconds here, giving me all kinds of hell about it. So this is Frank's sister. She's not even a dear friend. In fact, I don't really like her much. I tolerate her. Frank brings her around.
Okay, so she went from being your sister-in-law to you tolerate her.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
So her name's Bertha, and when she walks in the room, we go, da-da-da-da. What's the big deal?
It just sounds very cruel to me, that's all.
You know, Phil, when you put on that whole Phil the big brother and the protector of the morally weak and the people that are so put upon, when you put that act on, boy, I almost believe it myself.
Shut up. So you think I'm full of crap, huh?
Well, Phil, I can't possibly. What's the big deal?
The big deal? Why don't we get Frank on the phone? We'll find out.
Frank agreed. Bertha is, she's a wonderful girl. I like her, sort of. It's just that she got the weight off, and she...
Let me get Frank on the phone here, okay? Get him on the phone.
Who?
Who did I just say?
Frank?
Yes, Frank.
Why do you have to talk to Frank?
I'm going to talk to Frank about this because I think I hear something here that I'm not quite hearing. There's something going on with what you're telling me that is, where is he anyway?
He's over at Ted's.
He's at the restaurant?
Yes.
Call him up, will you?
Hey. Yeah. Give me Ted Bell. I don't give a damn. Give me Ted Bell. The Phil Henry Show.
Don't talk to them like that. Hi, Phil Henry. Can I put him on here?
Yeah, Ted Bell, hello.
Hey, Ted, it's Phil Henry.
Hey, how you doing?
Is Frank Gray there?
Oh, hello, Rain. The table free. I'm wearing a big rush, Phil. What's going on?
I want Frank Gray.
Who?
Frank Gray.
I don't know who the hell he is. Who the hell is Frank Gray? Oh, Frank Gray.
Ted, this is Margaret.
What?
It's Margaret.
Hold on for a minute. Table three, okay? Come on. I got the mayor of L.A., Villagrosa's coming in here in a half an hour, okay? You want Frank, huh?
Yeah.
Take the phone over to Mr. Gray's. Take the phone over to Mr. Gray's table. The phone, what I'm holding here. Hold on, Phil. I'll get him for you. I'm sorry, Phil. We're in a rush.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, what? The phone. The thing I'm holding here. Get Angela. I'm sorry, Phil. Hold on.
Okay, we're going to get Frank Gray on the line.
Why do you want to embarrass me?
I want to find out some things. You're talking about his sister.
Angela, here, honey. Take this phone over to that gentleman there. That's Mr. Gray? Yeah. Take the phone over to him. Him. This. You see this? This is a phone. You see what I'm holding here?
You gotta be kidding me.
Hold on. What?
You gotta be kidding me.
Just wait. No, I can't do it myself. This phone, take it over to that man. This is a phone. This is a telephone that I'm holding here in my hand. I want you to take this over to that man over there. Do you understand? Oh, my God.
What do you got going there anyway, man?
Hold on.
I mean, hold on, Phil.
Why are you yelling at him?
Because he can't get somebody to understand that the phone has got to go over to your husband's table.
I'll take it myself. No. Get your hands off. I'll take it myself. No, now you want to do it? I want to take it myself. No, you don't get to do it. I'm taking it myself. Hey, Eddie, get her off of me, will you? Get her off of me. Get her off of me!
What is going on over there?
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of weird-ass work on there.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll get Frank on the phone, and we'll talk to Frank about this sister of his that's Bertha that gets the tuba music. This is really weird.
I'm taking the phone myself. You don't get to take the phone because I asked you and you wouldn't take it. There's the phone! Hold on, Phil.
Yeah, I'm holding on, man. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
God, are you kidding me? I'm taking the phone. No, I get to take. It's my phone.
Welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we have to pull the winner of our year's backstage pass right after the news at the top of the hour. I thought we were going to do it this hour, right?
Yeah, they've got to get her and got to find out about it.
I didn't understand one word of that.
Neither did I.
They still got to find out about it.
Which means you guys didn't draw the winner yet.
No. We're going to draw the winner, but we're going to do it later.
Oh, I see. So when I told you I wanted it this hour, you decided, oh, okay, Phil wants it in this hour. Let's do it later.
No, we thought we had the time of the news.
You guys are going to do it at the top of the hour?
Yeah.
All right. So we will do it first out of the gate in the next hour. Okay. So having said all that, we will do that. Some lucky winner will win 1 year's free subscription, a whole year of access to our archives, coming up here in this next hour. I think we've got to, do we have?
Yeah, I just talked to Frank. He's on the phone. Ted is having a heck of a time over there. He's very busy tonight. And he has Mayor Villagrosa coming in and his entourage. So it's a very hectic evening.
Boy, it sure is late, isn't it?
It is late, but I think they were at a fundraiser.
Okay, so I understand Ted's got you know, a lot of stuff going on there. Mayor Villagrosa coming in. So we're going to talk here in a moment to Frank Gray. And the major question that we have, and I'm not trying to upset you, Margaret, or embarrass you. You said that you guys call Frank's sister, whatever that is.
We call her Bertha, and we play a tuba when she walks in the room, and it's great fun. Because she isn't anymore. How do I say it? She was a beast, Phil. She was a beast. She was the beast that didn't stop. She was that which emerged. She didn't just come out of the bedroom in the morning when she visited us. She emerged from the hallway. Do you know what? You know how big someone has to be when they emerge and not just walk down a hall?
But yeah, I can well imagine that, Miss Gray.
Thank you, Bud.
Well, it's probably pretty big.
When someone emerges, I haven't even begun to consider what that. I suppose you're right. Let's get Frank Gray on the phone here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Young man, I'm better than Custer. How are you? It's just Ted came over here frantically. He's got this young lady. They're breaking in a new waitress tonight, and I don't know. You talk about stupid. Some of these people here are as dumb as the day is long, and they're as dull as hell.
Frank, honey, Frank, it's Margaret.
Yeah, honey.
Phil was asking about your sister, we call her Bertha.
Oh, yeah, Clandoline, yeah. Well, they call her Bertha, Phil, because she had a weight problem, and they always played the tuba when she walked in. Margaret had played, she didn't play tuba, I think somebody, who played the tuba there?
No one played the tuba, but we always had a recording of a tuba ready.
Oh, that's right. They always had a recording ready.
They had a recording of a tuba ready.
Yeah, they would do that, and they play the tuba when she walked in. But I never found it to be a very tasteful or anything. I always felt that it was something was wrong.
Well, what I wanted to do for Phil is give him an idea as to what that sounded like. So she would walk in, and because Phil was criticizing me for this.
Well, I felt that it was bad, especially now. She's lost all this weight, and she looks a lot better than Margaret does. And I'm sorry to have to say that, honey.
Well, you know something, Frank? I was hoping that you would hold back on that.
Well, she does, but she looks better than you. Her butt's nicer. Her boobs are bigger. She's got a smaller waist. Her face, she doesn't have that big honking nose that you've got. And but she's my own sister. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm playing. This is what she will always be to me.
How dare you? That was a terrible...
What the hell?
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because that was the funniest thing. Where did you get that?
That is the sound effect.
Yeah, that's what they played.
Here she comes. Here comes Bertha. Waddling down the hall.
That is a horrible thing to do.
See, that's... And then she'd go into the bathroom and close the door.
Well, how did that poor girl react to that?
What's that?
How did that poor girl react to that?
The restaurant's too loud. I can't...
I'm sorry. I can't... Here it is.
Staccato.
Here she comes. She's coming down the hall. And she's going to come into the kitchen now and have a bite to eat.
I think that's just as wicked a thing as what you could possibly.
Now she's leaving without helping with the dishes.
How dare you? That's my dear sister. I got to admit, though, it's funny.
Yeah, okay. I get it. And now she's got all the weight off.
Yeah, she's got the weight off, and she looks wonderful, Phil. And Margaret's upset because my sister has got a way better...
And that's your sister as she gets ready to go out for the day.
Frank, thank you.
Well, I don't think it's fair for...
You just hung up on my husband.
That's exactly what I did. Because listening to him and listening to the thing and the thing and this and that... Where did you get that tuba music?
This is the stuff that I brought from home. Here it is right here.
Yeah, she gave it to me and I queued it up.
This is the stuff you brought from home?
Yes, don't look at me like I'm a freak.
Well, I mean, I gotta tell you something. You cue up tuba music to mock the sister of your husband because she's too fat, and you've saved it, and you brought it in.
Yes, what's wrong with that?
It's just very bizarre behavior. Now, where is this young lady?
Frank's sister? She's back home in Houston. She's married to a guy who's working for Standard Oil or something. They live in Houston. But when, yes, she dropped all that weight. Yes, she's got a big pair, and all the things that Frank said are true. But the fact is, I've always been hot, and she only got hot as the result of us encouraging her. Not by way of giving her diets and not by way of suggesting doctors. We encouraged her with a nickname and this. There.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I think it's mocking and cruel. Mocking and cruel. For anybody to have to put up with that. And I think it's hard enough to lose weight. As you well know, I went through it. And,
that's you walking down the hall.
There goes Phil into the studio. And he just sat down.
Ha ha ha. We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show, with the winner of our year, BSP.
Woo! Woo!
Phil Hendry.